You ever notice how some people are just like naturally successful? They have the golden touch, they do well, and then there are other people and, well, things just don't go well for them, or maybe they're just never that successful, and you kind of feel bad for them. And we're going to look at one guy, he was even homeless. Stay tuned for the corner of truth and life right now. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall and we are continuing our Christmas series. So if you are listening to this on the radio or if you're following our weekly podcast from our website, we've been talking about Christmas and Christmas theme and we've been kind of tracing the life of Jesus. And so in the last episode, we talked about kind of a bad start where he, you know, had an inauspicious beginning with the shepherds and born in a stable and born into poverty. But now we get to where things really start taking off, because now we come back to Jesus, and now he's an adult. He's probably somewhere close to 30 years old, and up until now, the Bible doesn't record his life. It hadn't been apparently anything remarkable. He hadn't set himself apart in any way. He'd been probably a carpenter, stonemason, and he's just had a regular job, and he's a regular guy. But now the time has come, and he calls disciples. He becomes a rabbi, becomes a traveling teacher, and he collects 12 guys to be his core group, and he begins to travel and teach, which, you know, teachers did this. And, you know, that was a thing. But Jesus, you can kind of wonder whether he's that good at it, at least at first. Now, he does start drawing big crowds. And I'm not saying he's not a good teacher. He's an amazing teacher. And as he also begins to do healings and miracles, he attracts quite a crowd. Jesus's problem is he doesn't know how to monetize it. He doesn't know how to cash in and take advantage of his fame. And so as he begins to go about, several things happen. First, as he is teaching, includes the idea that he is the Messiah, it means that he draws a backlash, including from his family. They even at one point try to get him and bring him home, like, he's embarrassing us. He's running around. He's obviously, you know, Jesus falling off the cracker here. Maybe we should bring him home. And they don't back him. They don't support him. And they're worried about him. And so you get family pushback. So he doesn't get good backing there is the first issue. Then on top of that, he's homeless, basically. And in fact, at one point he confesses that. One of his listeners decides, hey, you know, I want to get on the gravy train here. I want to join you. And Jesus, of course, he's concerned that people may be following him for the wrong reasons, that they're not interested in him so much as maybe the fame and fortune that they suspect, or maybe they just, you know, they're attracted to him for all the wrong reasons. And so he says to the guy, he says, listen, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I'm homeless. He says, I've got nowhere to sleep. And so he's not cashing in. He's not, you know, getting, you know, okay, everybody, you're doing great here. Really appreciate that you like the teaching, so we're going to pass the basket and everybody throw in some money so that I can get a hotel room tonight. You know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't use his fame to enrich himself. But at least he draws a big crowd, right? At least he is famous. But some of that comes at a price, too, that doesn't go well for him. One of the big things is, as the crowd begins to build, it becomes hard for him to function sometimes. And he has to, a couple times, he actually hides. Like, he kind of runs away and hides, so to speak, because he needs some downtime. He needs to go pray. And sometimes even his own disciples can't find him because he's slipped off to pray and just be alone for a while. And even as people are attracted by him, sometimes they're attracted for the wrong reasons. In fact, one thing, you know, a lot of people, even, you know, if you've never studied the Bible much, a lot of people know that Jesus fed 5,000 people with some loaves and fishes. And that's kind of still in our, you know, cultural context or cultural consciousness. But what a lot of people don't know or haven't noticed the story is the next day after he had done that, the crowd, this multitude, went hunting for him, and they traveled like halfway across the lake trying to find him because they thought, okay, this is going to be a thing now. We'll never need to buy lunch again. This guy's like a food machine. And the crowd goes hunting for him, and it's not for the teaching so much as the food. Which, you know, when your whole point is to try to teach people about God and they're just saying, hey, free lunch. Well, that's got to be discouraging. And you see Jesus, just he gets worn out. The story where he calms the sea, everyone, you know, a lot of people know that one too, where he calms the sea, peace be still, and he makes the waves stop. But the whole reason that story happens is they were crossing the sea of Galilee there, and they were doing it to get away from the crowds. This was, again, an escape. And Jesus was so worn out that he's laying down in the bottom of this boat. And it wasn't a ship. This was like a fishing boat, like a big rowboat almost. And Jesus is passed out on the floor of this boat. And he's probably getting wet. I mean, it's wind and waves, and the boat's tossing and turning, and it's so bad that his friends, they think they're going to die. So it's not just, oh, it's a little bumpy. And Jesus is still sound asleep. He is wiped out. And they have to wake him up and say, hey, listen, aren't you worried? We're going to die here, and you're sleeping. And he's kind of annoyed, going, well guys, you're with me. What are you afraid of? And then he says, all right, peace be still. And he stops the storm. Probably so, not because he was worried about the storm. He's like, okay, guys, can I go back to sleep now? He doesn't say that in the The Bible doesn't say he said that, but I wonder. But he's worn out. So this guy, man, it's rough. So he's homeless. He's having to hide sometimes, just kind of hounded by the crowds that he's drawn that are coming after him, oftentimes for the wrong reasons. And still, that's not all. Because as he gains fame, and as he teaches more and more people about God's love, and proclaims himself to be the Messiah, he also starts making powerful enemies. And the religious leaders, who he doesn't help his case because he calls them out. And he insults them and says, guys, because he's kind of mad at them because they have, as religious leaders, they were supposed to be leading people towards God, but instead they're not. They're teaching a legalism and exercising power rather than serving the people and telling them about God's love. And so he's mad at them. And he calls them out, insults them, and he's also challenging their thing. I mean, they are the religious leaders, and then he is saying, listen, I can connect you with God. And so, as you read the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you see happening is a backlash begins to build. And they begin to plot, and they begin to scheme, because they're like, we gotta get rid of this guy. He is a threat, he's a problem. And we've got to do something about it. And it takes them a while. There's a couple times when they're going to do something, and it's like, oh no, this isn't the right time. And they don't have their act together yet. And so it takes some time, and there's a couple times when things go really bad, and it says that Jesus just kind of left, and nobody touched him. He just walked out, and we don't know whether he just supernaturally disappeared, or what. You know, the Bible doesn't explain how did he make his escape. It just said he left. He just walked through them, not like through, but just walked through the crowd and out. But he has several near misses like that, but it's just not time yet. They haven't got everything figured out. Finally, they are able to penetrate his inner circle by corrupting or helping to corrupt one of his 12 disciples. When Judas approaches him and says, "Hey, you know, I'll make you a deal." And they give him 30 pieces of silver. And now they got their inside guy, and now they can figure it out. And it wasn't, I mean, the big problem was, how do we arrest him in a way that doesn't cause a riot? Because he's surrounded by these people who like him, so we can't do it then. But we need to do it sometime. We need to get this guy. And so they finally figure it out, and this guy says, "Hey, you know, I'll lead you to him." He sneaks away, and a lot of times he just takes us followers, and we go off and pray somewhere, because he needs to be away from the crowd. You can get him then. And so that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knows they're coming, it's time. He tells them, "It's time. Time to let him get me now." And his friend comes and betrays him. Kisses him on the cheek so that the guards will know which guy to grab. And he's arrested. And so his promising career as a rabbi, which has been marked by homelessness, by being hounded, by exhaustion, by being misunderstood, now is marked by a very ignominious end. Because he gets arrested in the dead of night. When people get up the next morning, I'm sure the news slowly filtered through. "Hey, that Jesus guy, you know, that did all that stuff? They arrested him." Well, if you're arrested, you must be guilty, right? I don't know what he did, but I knew he was too good to be true. And of course, his followers, they weren't like hitting the press going, "Hey, it's false charge." I mean, his closest guy, Peter, is denying he even ever met him. So nobody is standing up for him. And even his closest guys who just spent 3 years and told him, "Hey, we are with you," they're all gone. And they're hiding, or they're lying about being associated with him. They're afraid. And he's alone, arrested. And it gets so bad that when he has his trial, the judge, Pilate, who they need, the Jews need his permission to do the death penalty because they can't do it on their own. And he says, "Hey, I don't think he's guilty. I can let him go, or we have this other criminal." And they say, "Let the criminal go and kill Jesus." Well, that didn't go well. So as we wrap up today, just, boy, this is not how you'd normally plan it, would you? Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Music, Organic Meditation by Kevin MacLeod, Incompetech. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.